Pirate's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show here on FM Talk 106.5, hour number three. Thanks for sticking with us. A little breaking news here. In a 4.0 earthquake striking near the Alabama-Florida line, Mount Carmel, Florida. Looks like maybe near Flemington, over that way, Atmore around there, north of Escambia County. Anyway, 4.0 earthquake. Hope everyone is hanging in and doing okay. Still coming on the program today. He's warming up in the bullpen, running for mayor of Daphne. Robbie LeJude will be with us in studio here very shortly, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. But joining us on the line now, a friend of mine, serves in the Alabama legislature. You may remember him. He ran for U.S. Senate. Most of us down here know this name. State Representative Arnold Mooney joins us on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
Jeff, I'm doing well. I'm glad to be with you and your listening audience, whether you're in the Tennessee Valley or you are down in South Alabama with our great citizens in Mobile, Baldwin County. And I'm not quite sure how far your reach is, but I know folks are glad to have you in that area.
We go all the way to Mississippi. I think Biloxi. We had a car from Biloxi all the way from there to past Pensacola. So
it's a great listening area.
A broad swath of listeners. Very delighted to have a be on a big signal like that. How are things going? COVID-19. What's the business climate up like your way? Just give us kind of a rundown before we get into the matters of the state legislature.
You know, Jeff, we in North Shelby in my house district in 43, and everybody across the state. I mean, life has been being lived upside down in the midst of everything that's going on. It's very difficult to know exactly what is the specific clear, you know, truth about everything that's happening with this virus pandemic. But obviously, we've all got to be very careful, whether you are older or younger. If you have any kind of conditions that are underlying for a comorbidity type thing, it's obvious from the latest CDC results we've seen, comorbidity causes a great deal of problem for people, and the virus can exacerbate that type situation. So, we just all got to be smart. I have a son who's a physician, and I always told him and my other children when they were growing up, I said, guys, y'all just got to always be smart. You've been raised to have good values. You know what you're supposed to do. And my son said back to me, said, Dad, you need to be smart. You need to watch out and do the right thing. So, you know, if wearing a mask will protect another person from me and what I might be able to transfer, or if washing my hands, doing those things, doing the cleanliness things that need to be done, you know, I'm going to do them. I'm going to do it because I care about people and I want other people to care about people. Realistically, I think where we're at is this is about personal responsibility. Who are we as human beings? Do we care about those that we not only love in our family, but we work with, we try to represent? Then we want to do everything we possibly can to help life be better for them. You know, obviously, I've been working trying to assist people with job situations, unemployment, businesses with problems, trying to keep them open, all of that. But again, even the medical side of it goes into it. We've got to be a people in Alabama, and I know we are, who care about other people, who care about what happens to those around us, who love the people of this state the way we love our state and we love our country. And that's the important thing right now, is for us to all be very smart, be very careful, do the things we need to do. You know, I certainly hate that we're in the 17th extension on executive orders about masks and all. That's something to be discussed. I mean, that is a question mark that has been a big conversation among people in my district. People are concerned about it. They read the CDC reports. They're concerned about what they see come out about a 94% comorbidity issue in relation to deaths and all. I don't know the answers, and I think, quite honestly, as I'm told often by my son, who, as I said, he's a physician, and other physicians with whom I work and talk with a great deal because I serve on the health committee in the Alabama House, it's going to be a while before we know all the answers and we're able to understand all of the various aspects of how deaths have occurred and how transmission has occurred. We're in the midst of an unknown. I think there's some things that we obviously know that if you get very ill with this virus, it can be very detrimental to your life. I mean, we're all very thankful in the Alabama legislature that Senator Randy Price is improving and getting better, but he was twice in intensive care and on a ventilator, and thank God he's alive. And for so many others, and my heart goes out to so many families that have had losses and concerns. I mean, in our family, we lost a 97-year-old and a 90-year-old. I don't think either was exactly necessarily related to the virus. I think it's just simply, you know, the time that God called them to be home with him in heaven. But my heart goes out to people who've had difficulties, work, loss of work, problems trying to keep their business open, situations with their children. I mean, all the things that are going on with trying to get back to school and do it in a manner that allows a family to function, take care of the things they need to take care of to prosper their family and to go forward and to take care of others in need around them. So, I mean, we're like everybody else in the state. We're just trying to manage this as best we can and keep moving forward.
Do you, bigger picture, though, and I'm not just, you know, picking on Governor Ivey or Scott Harris, the state health officer, but are you concerned about the use of executive authority and that this will open the door? You know, today it's something very serious, obviously COVID-19, but you can look at that and say, well, this is a very serious problem too, and we can't wait around for legislative bodies to act. We need to act. We need to use our executive power to take care of this problem. Do you worry about that trend?
Well, all of those things you've just described are conversations that are going on, not just among folks in North Shelby, people scattered around the state, or legislators, House and Senate, but they're going on in conversation with our executive branch. You know, how do we approach this in a manner where we can show the people of our state that they can have confidence in what's happening, that those people whom they have elected have had an opportunity to weigh in and be a part of things. I mean, it's all up for conversation and discussion. I think Governor Ivey is doing everything she possibly can to do what she believes is right to try to protect the people of our state. I mean, I'm not doubting that at all. I mean, is it a conversation? Yes. I mean, there is some concern that 17 executive orders or extensions of an executive order, emergency order, are somewhat a concern. So what does that have effect, just as you said, in other areas? But you know, we've got to do a lot more talking, conversing, meeting together, coming together and finding out where we are. I mean, it's just like the virus. We just don't have enough information to make decisions on empirical data that give us a clear understanding of where we should be and where we should go. And just today I saw, you know, by possibly late October, November 1, there may be, according to the CDC, a vaccine available. Well, there's so much to be discussed and looked at in relation to that, you know, what the tests have been, what's gone on, all of that. But while all this is occurring around us in this country that we love, that we cherish, because it provides an opportunity for us to have individual freedom and individual rights to protect ourselves and our family, to earn a living, to enjoy the opportunity of future prosperity for our families, we see our nation being torn apart in a manner that is not productive and is not going to solve a problem. We need to come together as civilized people and talk and discuss things and work them out. But the radical socialist left intention is to destroy this nation. I said that when I was running for office, and I'm going to continue to say that because that's what I believe and I know to be true. I mean, it's clear that leadership in many organizations are Marxist and leftist. Their purpose is not for this nation to continue being a light to the world. It's for this nation to be diminished and to become under, you know, their Marxist mentality and their thought patterns. I don't want to see the Constitution destroyed. I don't want to see our state's Constitution destroyed. There are certainly things that need to be you know, worked on with it. We're working on those and progressing on them. But, you know, we as a people in Alabama have done very well. I've seen all kinds of things that say we're here, we're there, we're whatever. But what I would tell you after seeing the reports that came out yesterday about the financial condition of our state, our general fund is healthy. Our education fund certainly is not in dire trouble. The numbers were better than I thought I would see, and very thankful for them. And we have another month in the month of September to see where we end up. I believe we will, because of the work that's been done over the last 10 or so years, continue to be in a financial position that we can meet the needs of the people of our state.
Joined by State Representative Arnold Mooney here on FM Talk 106.5. Representative, another one of the reasons I want to get you out of here, your mention is the guy kind of, you got a bill, the tax liability on this CARES Act money, be it given in direct payments, benefits to individuals, are given to businesses with payroll protection loans that would be forgiven. Those are seen as income by the state of Alabama, and the state has the ability or the statutory authority to tax those benefits. And it's you and my friend State Senator Chris Elliott over in Baldwin County wanted to fix that and make it where that's not taxable income.
That's correct. Chris did, and I offered a bill last session. I offered one the last week we were in session. We had time to pass it, but I think everyone was busy with all the things that were going on. There were a lot of, obviously there were a lot of emotions and a lot of discussions and a lot of gnashing of teeth or whatever, but it's a simple bill that just simply provides that there'd be an exclusion from Alabama income tax in relation to federal tax credits or advance refunds that came from the federal Corona Aid, Relief, or Economic Security Act. It is just that straightforward. I'm of the personal opinion that this little small two-section bill, which basically is maybe, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, 15 lines of type, is very important for us to share with the people of our state, because people have been through a lot. And an act of the legislature is going to be required to remove the state liability. And, you know, our legislature doesn't convene until February the 2nd. You know, obviously, if there's a special session, my hope is that this would be a part of it. I believe it would be. I've been in conversation with members of the executive branch and departments there, and very positively received. It is my belief, and I think that is clearly I'm right in this, no one in this state intends for our state government to create a problem in relation to the COVID-19 relief funds for our people in our state to be taxed on the state level because they aren't federally. And it's just a very straightforward thing to say, we understand what you've been through, and this is not what we're going to do in our state. We're not about this. We're going to continue to improve, continue to grow, continue to bring our economy back, and, you know, pray to the good Lord we get this medical crisis behind us as soon as possible, so that we can continue to do the things we love and care about with our families, with the organizations that we're involved with, to better life, the lives of those around us, and things of that nature. So I'm very proud to have that bill. It's ready to be filed, and we'll certainly plug it in and be ready to go.
Are you optimistic for a special session?
I'm sorry?
Are you optimistic that the governor will call a special session?
You know, from what I hear, I don't think there's going to be a special session, but that's just, you know, conversation. Who knows? I mean, I'm not privy to everything that's going on. I do know we have some economic development bills that are expiring that are very important. I think those are difficult for a lot of people in our state to understand because they're very technical in nature and involve the recruitment of business, but that is important to our state, and I do support those. I think that we ought to be very clear and target what relates to individual taxpayers and small business clearly with the bill that would wipe out the income tax requirement, and then let's clearly go after these things that are economic needs. I mean, you know, we can do it. The bill I've got, and I believe the one that Senator Elliott's got, certainly will solve the problem even in February. But, you know, folks are going to be starting to file tax returns, and you want to relieve pressure on people. You don't want to burden them of and not knowing for sure, because nothing's for sure until it happens. But it's going to happen. I mean, there's too much support among members of the legislature, and I feel very confident that we have just solid support elsewhere. So whatever occurs, we're smart enough to work it out. I don't know if there will be a special session, but obviously I've done everything I can to be sure that this is included if there is one.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break, but thanks for making time for us this morning.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Jeff. I'm always thankful for the opportunity to be with a good, solid conservative like you.
I appreciate the kind words. We'll do it again real soon. Oh, State Representative Arnold Mooney joining us along. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Living by the job in their news.